Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Kirk with us. Kirk, do you see the connection between the instructions that Yahweh, who had provided everything for Adam and Chawa in the garden, except he didn't say, you know, I'm going to put the food on the plate for you. He said, you know, the food's in the trees. Get whatever you want. He didn't say, you know, when we go take walks in the garden, that I'm going to carry you around. He said, let's go take a walk and let's chat about things. And then when he booted them out of the garden, he says, you know, you're going to make a sacrifice, woman. And, man, you're going to work.
Yeah.
You see a tie-in with what it's like to be part of a family and the covenant family and Yahweh's view of economics of, yeah, there's food. It's in the corner of the field. You go out and get it. Yeah, there's the shelter there, but it's in the raw form. It's wood in the storehouse. Mm-hmm. You go turn it into a shelter. I see a correlation here. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. This is kind of uncanny. I didn't really know. I've been working, so I didn't know what to prepare for.
Been working? You're not on the dole?
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on. You've been working. By the way, do you feel a sense of satisfaction with your work?
Of course.
Yeah.
I like to work. I've always liked to work.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm
you know,
really
when I
retired,
actually retired from business.
Again.
Yeah, I retired from business, and what was the first thing I did? I started writing books. And after I started writing books, I started doing radio interviews and then hosting this show and doing research. I work 6 days a week, eight hours, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I've always loved work. I mean, I can't imagine. That's the generation that now that and young people that I talk to, and they want to, their whole goal is to make a lot of money so they can retire. I mean, all I want to do is I just want to get out of the workforce and do something. I like to do
right. In fact, my greatest satisfaction is learning what Yahweh is offering us, getting to know him and understanding the message that he is conveying to us, and then being able to share that. But all of that is work.
Yeah.
In fact, it's hard work. It takes a lot of time. When you go and you look up all the words that we're discussing and look up the letters that comprise those words, does that just happen because you sit there on your sofa with Terry feeding you grapes while tickling your toes?
Oh, that's a good concept. By the way. No, unfortunately, it's not that way.
No,
you know,
you really do it the hard way because you're even more analog than I am. You know, we're both throwbacks to analog technology in a digital world.
No, I looked up everything. So last night, I figured I got nothing to contribute on circumcision, and as a point to this. So I'm looking up. Okay, I said, well, I don't know where we are in the.
By the way, contribute.
Oh.
Isn't that an interesting concept? Contribute.
Well, I mean, that's what,
and you wanted to contribute, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So to contribute, does that require effort on your part?
Well, it takes a lot of money.
Yeah, but now that you're prepared to contribute, and we'll get back to what you did, but now that you're prepared to contribute, does it bring a smile to your face? Is it something, you know, hey, that was worthwhile. I can't wait to share what I learned.
Yeah, well, it's at least it's something, yeah. So.
Yeah.
But it was here's what I did. I went to Bereshit 17:10.
Okay.
Of course, it's Genesis.
Right.
And I said, okay, that's about circumcision, so I'm going to at least break down the major words in there to see, so in case we've overlooked a little something in the conversation about circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
So the first word I broke down, speaking of family and contributing, the first word I broke down in the ancient Hebrew after I went through the normal stuff, the second meaning in there is if one party fails to meet the agreements of the covenant, then the other may do the same to them. So he's saying it's a two-way street.
Wow! Yeah.
And it doesn't say who's going to contribute the most. It's not like it's a 50-50 partnership. I mean,
no,
it's
99%, that's right.
But you have duties or have
responsibilities.
Responsibilities in this agreement, and this is the Bereshit, the family-oriented covenant. This is what we are doing.
When Yahweh approached Moshe
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, I want you to go with me to free my children from the crucible of slavery.
Yes.
When he said, I want you to do that, did he provide a magic carpet for him to ride on?
No, he walked all the way from Arabia.
You're right. Did he say, all right, now that we're here, Moshe, you just let me do everything. You just sit over there on the sofa and look really smug. Do you ever see the first remake of Star Wars where the lead character, the new Captain Kirk, is engaged in the winless scenario, and he's just sitting in the chair, eating his apple, feet up, leaning back, and watching everything happen on the screen?
No, but I've probably seen excerpts of it or something.
Okay, yeah, and that is the... Star Trek. I'm sorry, Star Trek.
What
do they call that? That's the thing that that Kirk cheated on, Kobe Maru or something like that. Anyway, he just sits up and he watches the thing go by on the screen. Did Moshe sit there in the really puffy chair and just watch everything go by?
No, I was pretty scared to have to do what he did.
Betcha. He had to engage, didn't he? He had to contribute because that's Yahweh's style. He wants us to do things with him. Because when we contribute to the relationship, okay, so when you look at the process of freeing the children, Moshe's contribution was 0.00001 and Yahweh's was 99.999.
Yeah, well, he had the staff, that was about
but you know, Moshe still contributed. He contributed as much as he could.
Yeah.
And enjoyed the entire process.
Uh-huh. I'm sure he did. I mean, just to be there and watch it. I mean,
unfold and participate in it.
Yeah.
Being used in that way, being a tool, being used. I mean, it's a thrill to be used. Okay, so you were. Can I read Bereshit the 9 and 10, and then we'll look at the words. It says, "And God Almighty, Wa Elohim." Said, Amar, promised to, and this is El as God, to Abraham, which is Ab and Raham, which means loving, merciful, and enriching father. So, as for you, this is Eph Atah, regarding you, you should actually and continually observe. You should, this is Shamar, carefully consider and diligently examine. Pay close attention to the details so you genuinely understand my family-oriented covenant relationship. Bereth, followed by the Yod. To make it first person, my covenant, Bereth is followed by the Yod. So whose covenant is it? Is the covenant a Jewish thing?
No, it's Yahweh's covenant.
It's Yahweh's covenant, isn't it?
His plan.
Yeah. In fact, when God says it's my covenant, that means that it's my family,
my
isn't
family.
It?
Yes, my family. Yes.
So this is the family of God because Bereth is based on Be'eth. The only difference between Bereth and Be'eth is that Bereth adds a Rosh.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of this verb, you should actually and continuously observe. Does that verb define why the Rosh was put into Be'eth to make it Bereth?
Yeah, you can hardly observe if you're not going to look and see and think.
Right. Yeah, it was drawn as a person's head, with eyes, with ears, with a brain, to observe, to listen, to think about all of this, to prioritize it, is what the Rosh conveys. So you should continuously observe my family or any covenant relationship. And you and your seed, your offspring, Zerah, your children, after you, throughout law or to approach from throughout their generations, dwelling places, and eras of time. Door. Bereshit, that's 17:9. Now, the word that you were analyzing came from the next statement, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be Bereshit 17:10.
Yes.
This one and only, this is from Zeath. This one and only. Okay, I'm not really the brightest guy in the world. And I do not claim to be a grammatarian. What does this one and only suggest to you as to how many covenants there are?
I think it's one and only one.
Okay, so So can there be a new covenant if there's one covenant?
No.
No. Okay. This one and only, Zayah, this particular, singular, unique, and specific family-oriented covenant relationship of mine. Now, do you think that Yahweh has senior moments and where he says, you know, I forgot that I made covenant, my covenant in the last statement, and I'm going to be, so, you know, just excuse me for calling it my covenant again here. Or do you think that he's reinforcing that, hey, idiot, it's my covenant. It's my family. It's my home.
Exactly. Right. Consider who he's talking to.
Right. So he says, yeah, Abraham, you know, considering this one and only family home of mine, considering this one and only family of mine, considering this one and only covenant of mine, considering this one and only means to have a relationship with me. Now, if that doesn't make you just stop and say, whoa, then there can be no Islam. Islam cannot be Abrahamic. Christianity cannot be Abrahamic. Because that's a different family. That's an entirely different home. That's a different relationship. In fact, both have different gods.
Mm-hmm.
So how can the covenant be enslaving and mean and incompetent if the covenant in Yahweh's Torah, which is the centerpiece of Yahweh's Torah, is about his family and home? Wow. You think God's incapable of having a family?
Pardon?
You think God's incapable of building a home for his children?
Well, I mean, when you build the whole universe, I think a home's pretty easy.
Do you think that that those of us who are parents and have done the best that we could to raise our children, flawed as we are, can somehow do a better job
than Yahweh? I think not.
This one and only family-oriented covenant relationship of mine, Asher, which relationally and beneficially you should actually and continuously observe. Wow, that's the same verb, isn't it? Maybe he's serious about this observation thing. What do you think? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So Yahweh here is repeating the same verb. This one and only family covenant relationship of mine. My family. My home. Which relationally and beneficially, Asher, by way of making a connection, developing a fortuitous association, should actually and continually observe, Shamar. So we've got a couple of pronouns here, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The family is associated with the big guy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's his family.
Oh, yeah.
And an observation is associated with whom?
Observation is the people who are the family members.
Yeah, us little guys, right?
Uh-huh.
So the big guy, it's his family. He's got responsibilities related to his family. And us little guys, we have a responsibility.
We reach up to and observe and look.
Well, you betcha. We have to shamar. We're being asked to observe. By the way, does shamar have the letter in it that is observe?
Oh, yeah. It's got the roach in the end.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? And Bereth Covenant. We just talked about it. Right in the middle of it. It has that same observation letter, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. The roach once again, yes.
Yeah, all right. Oh, by the way, does Bereth start with a letter that would somehow tell those who were illiterate or those who were trying to define Yahweh's words but didn't have access to a dictionary or a lexicon?
Yeah.
Would the first letter of Bereth tell you what he's talking about?
Oh, yes. It's the bed, once again, the house, the tent looking from the top view, perhaps, and the doorway.
Yeah.
One doorway going in.
Yeah, family home.
Always, yes.
Yeah, and the letter itself, Aleph, Beth, the letter itself,
yeah,
what is the name of the letter? Does the name of the letter have a meaning?
The Beth is home? You mean?
Yeah, it means home. Means home and family. even the letters meaning. Even the letters meaning. So, okay, so this one and only family relationship of mine, which is relationally and beneficially, you should observe. So Asher is modifying observation, which relationally and beneficially you should actually and continuously observe shamar. Do you have any idea why I added actually and continuously to the verb shamar?
Well, Asher, isn't that the meaning?
Asher is the word that means to make a connection between things. There's a relationship between things, and it means its primary definition is to benefit. But shamar, the verb, I added to observe actually and continuously. Do you think I did that because, well, you know, I thought it sounded better that way, or was there a actual mandate in the grammar that required the addition of actual or literal and continuously and always?
I did not look that one up, but I'm sure that it is. If I was to dig it up, I'd find it.
Yeah, it's written in the call stem, which means that you need this is, I'm telling you, this literally, actually, genuinely. The call stem is an actual, general, and genuine relationship that is established by the call stem. And the imperfect conjugation means for all time, habitually.
Perfect.
And this should just be part of your ongoing approach to things. It's not a one-time event. It's not like going to a Billy Graham tent meeting and getting down on your knees and saying, "Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Save me." A one-time event. No. This is not a one-time event. You don't do this once to be saved and then you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is an ongoing practice to always be observant.
Well, how else can you define the relationship?
Exactly. Yeah. Between me...
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. After observe is B-Y-N. Between me. Isn't B-N the word, Hebrew word for understanding?
Between, understand, between you and me.
Is that the word that you translate, by the way?
Let me see.
With the letters? B-N, because it's a beauty. It's a beauty. So this covenant you should observe between me and between you. So we have B-N, Y-B-N.
Ba-Nun.
And then, and it says, and be, and between, wa, bien, your zera, your seed, following you.
Yeah, so
wow, and then it gets to the first word for circumcised, we'll get to just in a moment. But, wow, so bien, B-Y-N is the Hebrew word for understanding, and it's based upon making a relationship connection. John was introducing it right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about a relationship by making a connection between you and me.
Right. And the word and the letters absolutely spell that out, the meaning of the word. So
when we return, let's look at B-Y-N, which, by the way, happens to be, of all of the Hebrew words, my favorite. And it's my favorite just because it's maybe the only thing that I've ever been able to do well, which is to make connections between things and understanding that understanding comes from making connections. So we'll return to my favorite Hebrew word. All right, Kirk, do it justice. It's my very favorite Hebrew word. It's my favorite Hebrew word because I am a connect-the-dots sort of a guy. I love dot-to-dot when I was a kid, where you go from dot number one to dot number two and you draw a line, and then you go line to dot number three, and the sea of what appears to be unrelated dots all over the page all of a sudden becomes a discernible image when you've connected all of the dots, so you can tell you what kind of an artist I am too. That revelation of how you can make connections to see something, or you have information that you come to know, but you transition from knowing to understanding by making connections, and yet the Hebrew word for making connections is also the Hebrew word for understanding. So, in other words, God designed it that way. So, what are the three letters of BN tell us?
Well, you start with the bet, which, once again, is a tent, shelter, home, family home is the way we view it because of the and the context here.
Yeah, because it only means two things, family and home.
Family and home, yeah.
Right, so it's a family home.
Yes, it's like a floor plan. It has its design, but it's recognizable as that. Everybody realizes that, and with the one with a doorway, one way in, which is significant in the other context. And then, of course, it is followed by.
Yeah, by the way, it's kind of interesting that the way that it's drawn. If you're looking at it as a blueprint, it would be there's a doorway, so it's a home, a tent home blueprint where there's a doorway in. If you're looking at it as a blueprint. But if you're looking at the Bieth from a vertical perspective in three dimensions, which way does the doorway open in the in this floor plan?
Opens in.
Well, opens from up to down. The doorway is on the top of the home. If you're looking at it vertically, the letter, the way that's drawn, the door doesn't open on the side, the left or right side, doesn't open on the bottom. When you're looking at the way it's drawn, when it's the letter is right side up, the doorway isn't on the left or right side. It isn't on the bottom. It's on the top.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's all there.
Yep. So the doorway is the doorway to God's home. It's to God.
Right.
Gives you direct access to God. You go up from there.
And then and then we have of course the Yod, which is Yahweh's hand reaching down with an open palm to lift us up. And
do you know what the Hebrew word Yod means?
Hand.
There you go. Hand. Yeah. In fact, it's it actually means hand. I mean, it's just like the Bieth, the Hebrew, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The letter itself means family home, and the letter Y or the Yod in Hebrew means hand.
Right.
So there really is no missing.
No.
But these things are drawn to depict, and it tells you that you can use the letters to define the words that they are associated with. And by the way, there's more to hand than just the appendage.
Right.
Because in this particular case, it's drawn with the forearm reaching out. Mm-hmm. The hand is open, which is really important, and it has the upper part of the upper arm, the bicep, if you will, reaching down. So it's a hand that's coming down and out with an arm that's coming down and out with an open hand. So that symbolizes what a father does when they want to lift up their child. It also symbolizes if you and I were to meet and we walk together. How is my hand, my arm and hand, going to be positioned if I want to welcome you with a handshake?
You have to lift it up.
Wouldn't it be exactly as the letter is drawn?
Absolutely.
My upper arm is going to come down, my forearm is going to come out, and I'm going to reach out with an open hand. Isn't that exactly?
It's absolutely a greeting. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the welcome. It's the greeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now if you look up Yod in Hebrew, you will find after hand, you will find ability, power, influence, whatever is required to get something done. It is the Hebrew concept of doing. You know, in Hebrew, the hand is associated with doing. The eye is associated with seeing and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So when you in Hebrew, if you look up the ayin, the Hebrew word for eye, which, by the way, begins with the letter depicted as an eye, the ayin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually ayin as is the name of the letter, means eye. The second meaning of ayin is to observe, to perceive, and to understand.
Right.
And just as so that's the perceiving and understanding aspect, but the doing aspect, the engaging aspect, and having the ability to get things done. So the do is always associated with the hand in Hebrew.
Right.
So when Yahweh says, "I want you to place my Torah between your eyes and on the back of your hand," isn't He telling you that I want you to your perspective as you look out onto the world to be my Torah, and as you engage, I want what you do to be directed, to be guided by my Torah.
Right.
So this Yod it conveys a lot of different things. It not only says this is Yahweh's hand, this is Yahweh engaged welcoming us, this is Yahweh as a father lifting us up, but that God's engaged. This is what God is doing.
Yes. Now, the only way you can screw these things up is you have to change the jots and the tittles.
Yeah. All right. What does the jot and tittle tell us about the final letter of BN?
BN, well, that's the, are we going to go through the nun?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the nun.
The nun first.
Yeah, the nun.
And, of course, the nun.
The final letter of BN.
Is extremely connecting the dots here, because the nun is the seed or the sperm or the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's talking about children and ongoing children and inheritance and so forth. So you have the nun, the heirs, continuation, generations.
Yeah.
To continue, perpetual.
Yeah, the father, before he's a father, he wants to conceive a child with his wife and future mother. Is there a part of the father that goes from the father to the mother that is responsible for conceiving life? That they both the father and mother contribute to this process. What is that thing called that goes from the father to the mother?
Well, that's the male part.
Yeah, that's the sperm, right?
The sperm, yeah.
The sperm. That's what that is what's transmitted from the father to the mother, and the this nun, this letter,
is
depicted as a sperm,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not depicted as a root. Roots don't go sideways. Roots don't wiggle.
No, even when this you go sideways, they start going back. Then they'll go back up. But no.
If you were to look at any biology book depicting a sperm, it's drawn exactly as this letter is drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it conveys a child conceived with an inheritance.
Yes.
Isn't that what the covenant's all about? How many times did Yahweh say that the covenant is about providing you with an inheritance?
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing there. I mean, it's so simple. If you're given the right information, you should be able to figure this out.
So Yahweh is saying, if you observe, he wants us to observe, to closely examine and carefully consider his family home, and that he then says it is beneficially and relationally between us and him. And the word that he uses for between
is the law.
Is the end, and it's family home for with Yahweh engaging by reaching out and welcoming us, lifting us up so that we can be children with an inheritance, his children,
right,
with an inheritance.
And I think it goes like Ben Wa Ben, doesn't it? So
it does.
You add the
Ben
Wa
Ben.
It can be simply just and in translation, but it's also the significance of the Wa, of course, is to expand the family home.
Right. Like the Ben Wa Ben. You're right.
Pretty powerful stuff. I mean, hitting
wow.
all cylinders, as we say.
This is the heartbeat of Yahweh. By the way, I received a letter from one of my very favorite people, Jackie. I don't know if it was sent last night or this morning, talking about how beneficial what we did yesterday was by sharing Yahweh's testimony on circumcision, which is the next word we're going to examine, and how helpful it was in a family situation that Jackie is engaged in. And when you share Yahweh's words, what you find is bien. In fact, what you find is bien wa bien, that the family is increased and benefits, that the family grows, that the family is added to, is enlarged and enriched as a result of Yahweh's involvement reaching down to lift us up, his welcoming of us, causing us to be children, born into his family with an inheritance. By the way, this inheritance that he's offering, is it monetary?
No.
When you decided you wanted to contribute today and you were going to look up these words, did you receive a check in the mail?
No, sir.
No. Neither of us are paid a dime for what we contribute monetarily.
No, I wouldn't take it if you did.
No, but we inherit a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because we inherit knowledge. We're enriched by the inheritance of knowledge. right now, right here and now, we are enriched by the inheritance of knowledge. We're enriched by inheritance of understanding. We're enriched by getting to know Yahweh better. We're enriched by having contributed to and participated in this relationship.
And you have to look on the eternal view of all this stuff. I mean, we're...
Oh, you think that there's a little bit of enriching with inheriting the universe?
Well, yeah.
With receiving Yahweh's power and ability?
With
being made immortal? With being made perfect?
Yeah.
Yahweh.
I know that's an understatement, but that's the best I can.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's offering. He's offering... immortality, but the immortality is far beyond what we think of just living forever. Yes. Because he's taking us to the next dimension.
Yes.
Where we're infinitely empowered and where just as we can maneuver through the three-dimension realm that we're in now,
mm-hmm.
When we're taken to the fourth dimension, we will be able to maneuver in time. Time will no longer be an obstacle. It will no longer be a limitation or a hindrance. But he's not just taking us to the fourth dimension. He's taking us to the fifth dimension. And not just the fifth, but the sixth. And to the seventh, which is where he is. And along the way, there's the benefit of the relationship. There's the benefit of volition. There's the benefit of his word. All along the way. So Yahweh said, this one and only family-oriented relationship of mine, covenant, which relationally and beneficially you should actually and continuously observe. Does that mean you should observe it until Jesus comes? Does that mean you should observe it until Paul tells you that it's counterproductive and that he creates a new plan based on grace?
Can't find that anywhere.
No, I can't find that here. You should continuously observe between, for the purpose of coming to know and understand me, and between you, to cause you to be aware and to understand, making connections mm-hmm. between your offspring, your seed, following you, after you.
Before you go to the, that's about four or five more really good words here. Words.
Okay.
But I wanted to go back to Bereth and just show you something that I thought was really fascinating.
Okay, please. That is the key word in this. That's the key word.
And it says in some of these oldest lexicons, it says, Beth, it says, sacrifice to slay an animal which is cut in two, and the parties of the covenant pass through the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds kind of awkward, and then all of a sudden, if you put to me, and I don't, this is just me, but all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, well, there is a party that was separated, his soul was separated from his body, and the covenant does pass through that doorway,
right?
And it was a slain, you know, the slain animal, the sacrificial lamb. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's. Everywhere you go, if you dig a little bit, it's the same story over and over and over again. It's a beautiful story, but it's the...
You know what the other word, Bereth, when Yahweh uses the term marriage vow, which he does quite often, he really likes the term marriage vow.
Yeah.
And, you know, he considered Yisrael his bride.
Sure.
And he uses the term marriage vow. And then he talks about Yisrael being adulterous, which means they cheated on the relationship and chased after false gods. So he likes to use the metaphor of marriage vow and faithfulness in that marriage vow, being loving and monogamous in the marriage vow. Do you know the Hebrew word for marriage vow?
It's Bereth.
You got it. That's correct.
Didn't know that. That makes sense to me.
Because if a husband and wife... make the kinds of vows and promises to one another, don't you end up with a functional, growing, loving family?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's the Hebrew word for marriage vow. It's the also Bereth is the Hebrew word for relationship. It means to establish a relationship where things are expected and contributed from and by both parties.
Mm-hmm. Two-way street.
Two-way street. Both parties contribute, both parties receive. So it is a relationship that is participatory, where there are things expected from and benefits derived from each party. It is a marriage vow. Monogamy, to love, to cherish, to hold, to uphold, for as long as you shall live. A marriage vow. And it is a family being raised in a home. That's Beth. And then, as you say, as you strike deeper, you find the associations of that are made by the sacrifice of the lamb,
right?
Which is Yahweh.
And you have
so we can enter his home.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we can enter his home. You know.
Uh-huh. And then the last letter is the sign of the covenant, the upright pole, the Zion, the mark.
You're right, the mark, the signpost along the way, also the signature.
And the signature, yeah.
Right. So it's Yahweh has put his name on this family. And those of us who are observant see his name on this family.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bereth is a combination of family home, Yahweh reaching down and out to welcome us and to lift us up.
Mm-hmm.
At least those of us who are observant, who are paying attention and thinking about him. And he's put his name on it. He signed it.
Signed it.
And he not just put his name on it. The letter that says, I put my mark on this. This is my family. My name is right here. You can see I've signed a contract. This relational contract.
He has to live by the agreement just like us.
I mean, right.
He's there.
How do we sign the contract as men?
We this is circumcision.
Right. So Yahweh says he signed it. He put his X right there at the end of the word, Beret. We signed it through circumcision. It's the sign of the covenant. Wow.
Wow.
It all ties together, doesn't it?
Indeed. Indeed it does.
Yeah.